Anyway, be finding Psalm 102, and in a moment we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And as we look at these verses, I want you to imagine that you're a psychologist or that you're a counselor, and I want you to be able to tell me after we read these verses what it is that's wrong with this person that's writing these words. Here it is, Psalm 102, verse 6. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Now, what's wrong with this person? Their problem is loneliness, as you shall see. He feels like an owl alone in the desert. And who gives a hoot? He's a sparrow on a housetop. Who even notices a sparrow? Who even cares? I want to talk to you today about dealing with loneliness. Loneliness, I believe, is one of the most devastating maladies of this age. Loneliness is a common fact. That's our first point. Loneliness is a common fact. Don't think that it's just the little widow lady that's in her little hovel or little cottage who's alone or who's lonely. Folks, the rich and the famous are lonely. I've often heard about the loneliness of the president. I mean, back in the 70s, some of you old enough to remember the 70s. Janis Joplin was a gal who had the world at her feet as far as entertainment business was concerned. But one night, Janis Joplin decided to pump her arm full of heroin. And before she did that, she says, you know, when I come off the stage, all I do is sit around and watch television. I'm so very lonely. H.G. Wells was one of the greatest intellects of the past century. And when he was 65 years old, he said the same thing. I am so very lonely. So what is loneliness? Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, what it's not. Loneliness is not isolation. Loneliness is not solitude. As a matter of fact, we need solitude. You can be alone and not be lonely. If you can't bear to be alone, you actually have a psychological problem. You know, Jesus himself would withdraw himself away from the crowd so that he could be alone. And the only people who don't like to be alone are people who don't like to come face to face with God or face to face with themselves. That's why so many people walk around these days with those earbuds in their ears. I don't know what that thing's called. Was it iPod or something? Is that what you call it? Huh? iPhone, no, whatever that thing is you listen to music on. You know, back before whatever they have now, they had things called Walkmans. Before that, they had boomboxes or ghetto blasters. Before that, I mean, let's go all the way back to my time. We had transistor radios and we were uptown. But the deal is, people who constantly have to have that noise, they don't want to get alone. They want to have to think about or face God. But, you know, Jesus would withdraw himself so he could get alone. There's an old hymn that says, I come to the garden. How do I come to the garden? Alone. While the dew is still on the roses, the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. The only way you're going to hear that voice of the Son of God, it's a still small voice. You're going to have to get alone, get still. Loneliness is not solitude. You can be alone without being lonely. Also, there's a difference between being lonely and being lonesome. They're not the same. When you're lonesome, you're away from friends and family and you want to get back. You know, salesmen that are away from home, truck drivers, soldiers, they get lonesome when they're away from their loved ones temporarily. But they may not be in a state of loneliness. You can be lonely in a crowd. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's true that the bigger the crowd, the more lonely the person is. Henry David Thoreau said, a city is where hundreds of people are alone together. That's true. People who are lonely can sit in a restaurant and look at all the other people around them at the tables, and they all seem to be chatting and smiling, and they're so happy, and they can walk down the streets of some residential area and see all those homes, and they imagine in their head all of these families sitting in there talking and being joyous around the supper table. It's in the city where you'll find chapters of the Lonely Hearts Club. It's where you'll find singles bars that are thriving because people are lonely. They need someone to recognize them. They feel like that pelican in the wilderness or that owl in the desert or that sparrow on the housetop. Loneliness is not isolation. It's insulation. It's the feeling of being cut off or unnoticed or unloved or unneeded or uncared for or maybe even unnecessary. Everyone has three basic psychological and spiritual needs. First of all, everybody needs someone to love and to share intimately with. And number two, they need someone who knows how they feel, somebody who understands them. And number three, everybody needs to be needed. So if you don't have somebody to love or somebody who knows how you feel or somebody who really needs you, you're probably lonely. One of the causes of loneliness is the feeling of rejection. You know, so many people have tried to have friends, but somewhere along the way they got rejected. Maybe they got burned in a love relationship, and maybe they have been ignored, or maybe they've been put down, and they have this deep inner wound that's so deep that they're not willing to try it again. They're not going to expose themselves to more hurt. Mark Twain said one time, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. Matter of fact, he'll never sit on any stove again. Well, do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, he may not get burned a second time, but he's not going to take the chance. And there are people like that with relationships. They've been burned once, and they're just not going to try it again with anybody. Then there are those who just have a basic sense of insecurity. They don't have any sense of self-worth. They don't see themselves as worthy of being accepted or worthy of having a friend. They don't accept themselves, so they don't see how anybody else could accept them. And rather than building bridges, they build walls to close themselves in. Thirdly, some people are lonely because they've gone through some kind of deep sorrow, some deep tragedy, some deep loss. They lose their sense of perspective. They feel like nobody cares and nobody understands what they're going through. In Job chapter 7, verse 16, he says, "Let me alone, for my days are vanity." That word vanity means empty. Okay? You talk about a lonely man, you go over to Job chapter 19. And you look at verses 13 through 19. Listen to this. Listen to the pain in his voice. He has put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Even my wife thinks I have bad breath. That wasn't in there. Okay. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body, yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I have loved have turned against me. Man, that's sad. I think Job had gotten some things out of perspective because he had gone through such grieving. His sorrow had built a prison of icicles around him. You know, some of you may have lost a loved one or gone through some deep sorrow, and now there's that deep loneliness there. Another reason for loneliness is selfishness. You know, you can't control sorrow, but you can control selfishness. Some people are self-centered, let's face it. They're so wrapped up in their own lives. Listen, I'm going to give you a quote. Maybe you ought to write this down and remember it. But here it is. There is no life so empty as a self-centered life, and there is no life so centered as a self-emptied life. Let me say that again. There's no life so empty as a self-centered life, and there is no life so centered as a self-emptied life. The self-centered person, they're not living in a prison of icicles. They're living in a prison of plexiglass made of pride and self-sufficiency. They turn themselves inward, and it's a form of sin that always brings death to a relationship. Also, we live in an age that is so depersonalized. You don't even have to talk to a store clerk anymore. You can go check yourself out. Becky and I were in Sam's the other day, and one of the employees there came and handed me this little slip of paper, and they said, we've got this phone app now. And if you put this app on your phone, you can go through Sam's, and you can scan the items right there on your phone, and it'll add them all up for you, and you can pay with your credit card right off of your telephone, and then when you get to the door, just show them the digital receipt on your phone. You won't even have to talk to anybody anymore. So depersonalized. To the store, you're just a piece of plastic or a number, not a friendly face anymore. Well, thank God for Jesus, who gives us a name and not a number. I tell you what, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to turn the whole world into a vast concentration camp, and every inmate's going to be numbered, and they're all going to have the same number, 666. But Jesus gives us a new name. We don't have to wait for the Antichrist to come. We already live in an age of depersonalization. But not only is loneliness a common fact, it's a crippling force. You know, they did a survey among folks who have had heart attacks, and 50% of the folks who had heart attacks that they interviewed, 50% of them said that before they had their heart attack, they were deeply depressed or lonely. Now, that's not to say everybody has a heart attack is depressed or lonely, but it's just something to think about. Psychologists tell us that 80% of the people who come into their office for counseling, 80% of them are dealing with loneliness. If you deal with people who are suicidal, you're going to find that a lot of them are dealing with a deep form of loneliness. They believe that nobody knows and that nobody cares and nobody understands and so on. But, you know, whether a person knows or understands is not the point. The point is, to them, nobody knows or understands. Many people are alcoholics because of loneliness. A lot of people overeat because of loneliness. Some people can't eat because of loneliness. Some people can't sleep because of loneliness. Some people can't get out of bed because of loneliness. Some people can't concentrate because of loneliness. They're like a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the desert, a sparrow on the housetop. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is a destructive force. But you know what? Here's the good part. You ready for a good part? Loneliness can be a defeated foe. Let me tell you about who is the answer to loneliness. Jesus Christ alone is the answer to loneliness. In the first place, Jesus understands your loneliness. He knows what it means to be lonely. That psalm that we read at the beginning of this message, Psalm 102, is a messianic psalm. That means it's about Jesus. So, these things that we read about in Psalm 102, about like a pelican in the desert, an owl in the whatever, that's talking about Jesus. That's how he felt. That's what he experienced. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, it says, speaking of Jesus, that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And then over in the New Testament, in John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He lived a life of loneliness. When he died on the cross, there he was, suspended between heaven and earth. Because he had taken the sin of the whole world upon himself, even his own heavenly Father couldn't look upon him. Because God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. The crowd mocked him. The disciples forsook him. And he died alone on that cross. And he cried out while he was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? When David died, he could write in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus couldn't pray that prayer. He had to walk that lonesome valley all by himself. He died alone. Even when he was facing the cross, he couldn't make his disciples understand. That means, you know, when he talks about being like a pelican in the wilderness alone, that means he knows how you feel. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, tempted but without sin. Loneliness may come out of your sin, but loneliness is not a sin. Jesus was lonely. He didn't have any sin. He knows how you feel. Not only that, he alone can meet all the needs that you have. You need somebody to love and to share intimately with. That was the first point we talked about earlier. You say, but I need somebody who's real. See, that's your problem. He is real. You say, but I need somebody that's here right now. See, that's your problem. He is here right now. He is real. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 15, "Henceforth I no longer call you servants, I have called you friends." We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Folks, I have a friend in Jesus. I walk with Jesus. I talk with Jesus. I drive with Jesus. Jesus loves me. I love him. I can share anything I want to with Jesus. We need somebody who understands, and he does. He knows my down-sitting and my uprising and my going out and my coming in. He knows the very heads on my head. He's got them all numbered. It's easier to count them now than it used to be. I can cast all my care upon him, for he cares for me. I'll tell you something else, and this might surprise you. He needs me. You see, I'm his body, I'm his hands, I'm his feet, I'm his mouth. You remember Zacchaeus? The tax collector. He was lonely, he was despised, he was rejected, but he heard about Jesus. And when Zacchaeus heard about Jesus, something sparked in his heart. And he thought, I've got to find this Jesus. And so he heard Jesus was coming a certain way, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree, just hoping to get a glimpse of Jesus along the way. But when Jesus came walking by, he came straight up to that sycamore tree, and he looked up in it, and he said, "Zacchaeus." And I can imagine Zacchaeus thought, he knows me. He knows my name. And then Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And Zacchaeus must have thought, he wants me. And then Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I must abide at your house today." And Zacchaeus said, he needs me. He knows me. He wants me. He needs me. And friend, he knows you, and he wants you, and he needs you. You're precious to him, and I want you to know and understand and believe if you had been the only soul living on this earth, he would have crawled up on that cross and died for you. Through Jesus Christ, you have significance. And here's something else about Jesus. He's always there. He says, a friend sticks closer than a brother. And here's a verse, if you don't have it marked, you need to have it marked, circled, highlighted in your Bible. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul is reflecting on this. And he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," just in case he left something out, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." He's always there. Nothing can separate you from him. If nobody else understands, he does. If everybody else fails, he won't. He alone is the answer to loneliness. There is no life so empty as the self-centered life, and no life so centered as the self-emptied life. So the big question today is, would you empty yourself of all the stuff you've put in your heart? You know, there's a Jesus-shaped void in your heart. It's been there since you were born. And people start trying to fill that hole up with everything that you can imagine. Some fill it with alcohol. Some fill it with drugs. Some fill it with partying. Some fill it with possessions. Some fill it with other things, but the only thing that's going to fill that hole in your heart is Jesus.